29. Safety.
If you don't lure the Yeltis with bait, they'll most likely charge and try to impale you on their tusks. Of course, such an impaling will kill you, but Yeltis tusks are poisonous. The older the Yeltis, the more potent the venom. Even the feeblest Yeltis can kill with a simple prick from their tusks.
From Colvin R. Vryum's Bestiary for Conjurers, page 115. A ping echoed throughout the halls of Tardalim's 32nd floor. Amadal came to an abrupt halt, sweat beading on his forehead. "Stop!" he commanded his conjurations. They obeyed as the lines on the walls and ceiling became luminous.
"We're not far," Finch said. "Wait for two more shifts, then on the third, run backward."
That was the fourth time that he had told them to turn around. Without Finch, the 32nd floor would be an impossible maze to navigate. "I doubt the others will make it this far," Amandal thought.
"Get into position,"
Maraudin shouted between heavy breaths. Amandal sent the command to his conjurations as he turned around. The second set of pings filled the hall before he reached the section's border they had just crossed. A solid white wall appeared in front of them. Amandal had tried to watch the shift occur, but it all happened too quickly. Everyone crept to the section's edge, forming a line. The conjurations took up position behind them in two rows. A single ping filled the hall and Amandal readied to dash. The others did the same, while Finch fluttered above them. Amandal wiped the sweat from his forehead as the double pings filled the hall. The wall in front of him vanished, and he darted forward. Finch sped overhead, crossing into the next section of hallway before Amandal and the others could get halfway across. The winged creature slowed his flight, stopping two more sections away.
"Hurry!"
Finch called. They were one section away from Finch when a single ping filled the corridor.
"Faster,"
Amandal chided himself, eyeing the color-shifting lines. The hue darkened to vermilion as he crossed the line on the floor, but he kept running. So did the others. The double ping reverberated through the hall, and Amandal felt something hard grazing the backs of the conjurations in the rear. Too close.
"Keep going,"
Finch shouted, zipping overhead. Once again, he flew ahead of the party, stopping two sections away. This dash would be only slightly shorter than the last.
"The stairs will be in the next section!"
Amandal ran with all his might. When he was half a section away from Finch, the heralding ping filled the corridor. The party neared the winged creature but kept running. They were halfway through that section when the shift occurred, a single ping ringing through the hall. In the blink of an eye, the hallway ahead of them changed. A staircase lined the left wall, identical to every other they had ascended in Tardalim. Finch flew into the new section and hovered over the bottom step, waiting for the group to join him.
"Straight ahead!" Maraudin shouted.
Amandal didn't dare turn toward the stairs, lest he bump into someone. He passed beneath Finch and stumbled as he stopped. Ildin did the same, as did Silas. Vendar was more graceful. And Jacob? Well, he looked like a drunk with his arms flailing. But then Jacob always appeared intoxicated. The conjurations fell in line as the luminous lines darkened. Amandal bent over, hands on his knees, and the double pings filled the hall. The corridor in front of them changed into a corner section, bending to the right. Lowering his head, Amandal breathed heavily. Those around him sighed with relief, while others whooped and cheered.
"You two legs did pretty well," Finch said, "and no one got squished."
Maraudin called for Amandal and the illusionists to allow the squads to dismount from the earthen giants. A wave of dizziness washed over Amandal as he commanded the conjurations to kneel, then he began pacing back and forth. It felt like he had run a dozen grand finials.
"Have to keep moving."
"To the stairs,"
Maraudin shouted. He didn't seem winded in the slightest. Breathing heavily, Amandal trudged toward the stairs. Those who had ridden the conjurations hurried after Maraudin, but Amandal and his friends lagged behind. Another shift occurred as Maraudin began climbing the stairs.
"That was grueling,"
Ildin said between breaths.
"No kidding,"
Jacob snorted. Silas just nodded and held her side as she walked.
"Shall we send the conjurations ahead of us?" Fendar asked.
Amandal nodded. He stopped short of the bottom landing and paced along the stairwell. Soon, another shift occurred. He gestured to Ilden and Fendar.
"You two go first."
The enthralled earthen giants moved toward the stairs, but waited for the last squad to begin their climb. Fendar sent the conjurations under his control first. Another shift occurred and Amandal ceased pacing. He leaned against the wall beneath the railing, staring at the floor. Its concave curve was more pronounced than any of Tardalem's other levels. Amandal glanced to his left, where the shift had formed a long corridor. The curve in the floor continued throughout each section, causing the floor to rise the farther it extended into the distance.
"Do you see that?"
Amandal asked, pointing to his left. A lone ping heralded a coming shift.
"See what?"
Jacob asked. He reached into his pack, removing a flask.
"The floor."
The double ping filled the hall. Then a wall of stone appeared in place of the long corridor.
"What about the floor?" Silas asked.
"It's bowed," Amandal said. "I saw it before, but it looks more pronounced up here."
Fendar nodded.
"I noticed that as well. The floor's curve seemed to gradually increase the higher we climbed." "I don't see anything," Jacob said.
Ilden folded his arms, raising an eyebrow at the necromancer.
"That's because you're drunk."
Jacob shrugged, then plodded toward the stairs. The last of Ilden's enthralled conjurations was partway up the stairs when Finch fluttered over the railing. He hovered beside Amandal, a grin forming on those strange lips of his.
"Are you coming?"
Finch asked.
"Yes,"
Amandal said, pushing himself from the wall. With his conjurations trailing behind him, Amandal and his friends followed Finch up the stairs.
"I'll be glad to rest,"
Ilden said, bracing himself against the railing.
"Are you sure that monster can't reach us?" Silas asked.
Finch nodded, his trunk bouncing with each head bob.
"No prisoners can enter the roost. Only the Tulidyne and friends."
"Are you sure we can enter?"
Ilden asked.
"Pretty sure," Finch said. "I remember a two-leg came a long time ago. He entered and left the roost. And when the first invaders came, my father said no prisoner could get past these stairs. But the invaders could."
"How is that possible?" Fendar asked, raising an eyebrow. Finch shrugged. Amandal and the others soon reached the top of the stairs. But instead of emptying onto a landing, the stairs opened into an enormous oval space. It was 4 stories tall, like the rest of Tardalem, but was over 100 finials wide and perhaps 400 or 500 finials deep. Elaborate stone reliefs adorned the walls from floor to ceiling, depicting a vicious battle between men, elves, and dragons. There were other creatures as well, some Amandal didn't recognize. The ceiling was also adorned with a continuation of the reliefs, depicting only winged creatures.
"A battle from the Dragon Wars?"
The reliefs reminded him of passages from greater conjurations from the Aldenal Plain. He put the thoughts aside and glanced to the floor. It, too, was curved, like a shallow bowl. None of his friends seemed to notice the floor. They were too busy admiring the reliefs. At the far end of the room, 2 enormous, polished, black stone statues, carved in the likeness of the Tulidyne, hovered a finial above the floor. The statues faced each other, their trunks arching to hold aloft a transparent sphere that was as round as a man was tall. The statues held golden spears, the tips pointed down and behind them. Mirrodin stood beside the left statue with 2 squads worth of men, mostly soldiers.
Where are the others?
Beyond the statues, an ascending staircase led to an angled oval tunnel. From what Amandal could tell, the tunnel ceased at the highest step. On either side of the stairs were round doorways like those throughout Tardalem.
"Where are the others?"
Ilden asked.
getting Tevis Rawls, Finch said, annoyed.
Mirodin nodded and pointed to the doorways.
They'll be joining us shortly. Now, Finch, will you show us where we can rest?
Yep.
The winged creature flew toward the stairs in a corkscrew, his arms stretched wide. As he passed between the statues, the transparent sphere pulsed with gray light. Finch zipped through the oval tunnel and disappeared within a vast space beyond the steps. Mirodin and the others followed, and the sphere pulsed a yellow hue.
Why the different color? Amandel wondered.
He and his friends followed Mirodin, with the conjurations trailing behind them. The larger conjurations barely fit between the two Tulidine statues. Before climbing the stairs, Amandel turned around. As the conjurations passed beneath the sphere, it pulsed with a pale golden light speckled with a variety of colors.
It has to be sensing different types of creatures. I wonder if...
Are you coming? Ilden called. Turning from the sphere, Amandel hurried up the steps. Felinia could not rest. She tossed and turned atop the hard floor, but she couldn't shake the image of that thing trapped within the crystal. Dardel had been equally perplexed. So were Morjadayan and everyone else who saw it, except for Vaim and Kaidal.
Why? Felinia wondered, turning onto her back. What does she know?
Vaim had simply raised an eyebrow at the strange being and then walked away. Hoping to think of something else, Felinia turned onto her side, facing the hallway behind them. The large corridor stretched for perhaps a grand finial before turning left. While staring at the bend, her thoughts turned to Amandel.
Where was he? I hope he didn't encounter that monster, she thought.
If he had, the big oaf wouldn't have had a barjan. The monster would have turned him mad like the others.
He's too confident in his mage's parasites.
But a mage's parasite couldn't defend against the monster's maddening haze, could it?
Better to be protected by a barjan.
A hunched-over figure limped around the distant bend, wearing what appeared to be a black robe. Felinia couldn't tell if the person was a man or a woman. Their hair looked dark. Whoever it was slumped against the wall and struggled with each step. Felinia leapt to her feet, spinning around.
Commander!
But Calamir was nowhere to be found, nor was Vaim.
What had she done to the commander?
Dardel rose from the ground and hurried toward her while directing his gaze down the hall.
Who is that?
He demanded. Jaw set, he gripped his sword hilt, called for an arpranist, then ran. One of the mages on second watch picked his way through the camp as Felinia chased after Calamir's second in command. Soon Felinia, Dardel, and the arpranist were running together. Now closer, Felinia knew the person was a man, but she didn't recognize him. Perhaps he was a necromancer, since he was wearing a black robe. Was he one of the mages who had run ahead in a panic, or had he been separated from Amandel? If the latter, where was Amandel? A knot formed in her stomach.
Oh, Amandel.
The limping man staggered, then fell forward. He lay motionless on the ground. Dardel groaned, and the arpranist began uttering an incantation. Arpran light swirled around the mage, tinging Tardalim's white walls with a green hue. They were upon the man before the incantation was finished. Felinia knelt beside him and gasped. His robe was tattered and stained with blood. Large gashes marred his back while deep gouges disfigured his neck. Had he been mauled by the monster?
He's alive, Dardel said, pulling his hand from the man's neck.
Dardel eased his hands around the man's head, turning the fellow's face toward his.
It's Uldric.
Felinia had seen this man flee with several soldiers during the battle with the monster. But where were the soldiers? As she pondered, the Arpran magic surged through Uldric. His wounds glowed green, then began to regenerate. He gasped and shook, but Dardel grabbed his shoulder, steadying him.
You'll be all right, Dardel said.
Uldric sucked in a breath, then eased back onto the floor. Felinia moved to his side, studying the necromancer.
Uldric's face was haunted. He stared through Kalamir's second-in-command, rarely blinking.
"What happened?" Dardel asked. "Where are the others?"
Uldric didn't answer. Dardel rubbed his chin, then turned to Faelinia.
"Can you make him talk?"
Faelinia was shocked at the suggestion.
"Place a mind control spell upon him?" she asked, aghast. "After what he's been through?"
She fought the urge to spew a rebuke. Uldric had experienced enough trauma.
"We need to know." Dardel's tone was somber. "The monster could be upon us again."
Faelinia stepped back, folding her arms.
"Please," Dardel said, rising to his feet. "We have to know."
Lips pursed, Faelinia considered the request.
"Fine. I'll do
it came,"
Uldric muttered, still lying on the floor.
"I wanted to hide, but Kayrun pushed us forward."
Dardel spun and knelt beside Uldric once again. The necromancer wheezed, then continued speaking.
"He charged at us. I tried to run, but it swiped me with its claws. I fell and the screams. Oh, the screams!"
Uldric's eyes widened, his breath quickening.
"What happened next?" Dardel asked. "How did you survive?"
Uldric blinked.
"I crawled to an open door. The monster was too busy with the soldiers. It ate them, one by one. The monster tore them in pieces, ripping them from their armor as if shelling nuts. When it came for me, I was already through the door. It tried to grab me, but clawed my leg. I scurried back as far as I could. Eventually it left. I was about to wait, but I heard moaning outside the room. I crawled back into the hall and found Kayrun. Well, what was left of her. She begged me to kill her."
Uldric paused as the last of his wounds became whole. "And?" Dardel urged.
"Siphoning her life barely restored me," Uldric said,
then fell silent.
"How horrible."
Faelinia turned away, shaking her head.
"Let's move him," Dardel said.
He and the Arpranist grunted, then walked past Faelinia with Uldric under their shoulders.
"This expedition is all wrong," she thought.
Faelinia took a deep breath and closed her eyes. While following the others, she settled her eyes on the tears in Uldric's robe. She had expected them to be jagged, with lots of fraying, but the tearing looked more like cuts. Had the monster's claws been that sharp?
Amandal staggered to a halt as he entered the roost. The others did the same, and several gasped in awe. The roost was a gigantic spherical chamber. Its ceiling was perhaps 2,000 finials above the stairs. In contrast to the rest of Tardalim, the roost was teeming with strange flora. None of the white stone was visible. The floor immediately around the steps was covered in lush, dark teal grass. Strange violet bushes with seven pointed leaves lined the oval tunnel housing the stairs. Structures that resembled auburn-colored tree trunks rose all throughout the roost. They were even protruding from the sides of the chamber and hanging from the ceiling. Those nearby were over twice the height of the tallest buildings in Sauroth. Many were covered in fluorescent yellow vines whose leaves had streaks of orange and red within them. Each of those tree-like structures had holes along their sides. Were those windows or doorways? Was that a difference Fench and his kind even considered? Mirrodin, the soldiers, and the mercenaries walked from the stairs, their heads tilted back. Ildan's jaw went slack and his eyes widened.
"This is incredible."
"It's so beautiful,"
Sylas murmured, kneeling and running her hand through the dark teal grass.
"A paradise," Fendar whispered.
Jacob pushed past Mirrodin and flung himself on the ground, spreading his arms and legs wide.
I'll just sleep here,
he said, flask still in hand. Amandal stepped around his friends, searching for Finch. The winged creature fluttered down from one of those tree trunk-like structures, minus his helmet and weapon. He zipped around Mirrodin and the other soldiers, stopping in front of Amandal.
Welcome to my home, Finch said, his arms stretched wide.
It's a big home, one of the soldiers said.
Well, it's not all mine, Finch turned and pointed the direction where he had flown from. My rooms are over there.
In one of those tree trunks, Mirrodin asked.
Tree what?
Finch rubbed his trunk and then held it up.
This is a trunk.
Do you not know what a tree is? A soldier asked.
Finch just blinked at the man. Ilden gave a brief explanation, but Finch cocked his head.
That tall structure, Mirrodin said. The ones covered in the vines. They look like the trunk of a tree.
You mean the houses?
Finch asked, gesturing to the structure beside him. Mirrodin nodded, then looked at the other so-called houses all throughout the roost.
There must have been so many of your kind.
Finch lowered his head and dropped his trunk.
There used to be, before the invaders.
Poor thing, Amandal thought.
You're not alone anymore, Finch, Ilden said. Finch shook his head.
No, I'm not. You're here now.
Mirrodin raised an eyebrow at Finch's statement. He studied the others before speaking.
Where can we set up camp?
Anywhere,
Finch said. Hefting their packs, the few soldiers and mercenaries followed Mirrodin around the oval tunnel housing the stairs. They marched toward an open space between several of those tree trunk structures and began erecting tents. Amandal and the others, however, stayed with Finch.
I'm exhausted, Ilden said.
Jacob began to snore softly. Finch spun in the air, nearly tipping over sideways.
What is that?
Does your kind not snore? Fendar asked. Finch stared at the illusionist, blinking several times. Silas giggled.
Sometimes we make those sounds when we sleep, she glanced to Fendar. Jacob isn't the only one who snores.
Fendar frowned and shook his head.
Amandal, can you take the conjurations back?
Ilden asked. He ran a hand through his blonde hair and struggled to stand upright.
At least for a little while. I can try, Amandal said.
Reclaiming a conjuration that had been severed from him was a fairly easy task, but there was the matter of conjuration magic not manifesting in Tardalim. That and staying awake himself.
It will work, that voice said. Reclaim your earthen creatures.
Eyebrows raised, Amandal glanced to the distant ceiling.
What?
Ilden asked.
Did he say something?
Amandal nodded.
Bring them up here.
Fendar turned to Amandal, confused.
Who is he?
The voice in my head.
Silas and Fendar exchanged concerned glances.
Wake me if you get too tired,
Ilden said.
I just need to nap.
Amandal nodded and uttered an incantation. He and the others stepped away from the stairs, allowing enough room for the conjurations to enter the roost. Charcoal light swirled around his hands as the enthralled conjurations ascended the stairs. Ilden would have to relinquish his control before Amandal could reclaim the earthen giants.
One at a time,
Ilden said. The first conjuration stepped onto the dark teal grass, standing perfectly still. As Amandal finished his spell, the earthen giant jolted and took an aimless step. But before it could roam free, the charcoal light struck it.
Stop,
Amandal commanded, and the giant stilled. The reclaiming felt like a weight in his mind. Reclaiming all of them would be extremely taxing.
If I only had some missile.
I could check the supplies,
Silas said. Amandal nodded and commanded the conjuration to step aside.
That would help.
What's messel?
Finch asked.
A drink that helps you stay awake, Ilden said.
and another conjuration ascended the steps. It stops you from falling asleep.
Like Umvilliums, Finch said, and zipped away.
What? Ilden asked, but Finch had already disappeared beyond the Tulidine houses. Amandal began uttering another incantation. Before long, he finished reclaiming his conjurations from Ilden and Fendar. As he had assumed, reacquiring the additional conjurations was quite taxing. Perhaps if I were rested, it wouldn't be so bad. Several groups of mercenaries had since entered the roost and rejoined Maraudin and the others in the camp. They carried full sacks, but Amandal hadn't seen their contents. Silas and Fendar had also joined them and were helping organize a very late meal. In an effort to combat his fatigue and mental exhaustion, Amandal lowered himself to sit cross-legged on the grass and stared at the camp. Focus, he told himself, and exaggerated his breathing. Finch soon returned, zipping around the conjurations. The winged creature circled once, then came to an abrupt halt. His tail came close to slapping Amandal in the face.
Here,
Finch said, extending his cupped hands toward Amandal. The Umbiliums looked like tiny maroon seeds.
Eat!
Amandal furrowed his brow.
All of them?
Yes,
Finch said, moving his hands close to Amandal's lips.
Do you want me to feed you?
Shaking his head, Amandal cupped a hand. After Finch meticulously moved each one, Amandal shoved them into his mouth. A surge of heat, warmth, not spice, ignited in his mouth. It spread down his throat, across his cheeks, and around his head. The warmth brought a renewing clarity. The taxation of the extra conjurations faded. It was as if Amandal had awakened from a restful night's sleep. The clarity, however, evoked an unquenchable thirst.
Finch, Amandal croaked. I need water.